welcome to the Super Size Phys Ed podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm here to talk about my favorite things. Yes, my five favorite things from the past month or so that I want to share with you. So without further ado, let's go. So before I begin, I would like to remind you that the teacher, the chef, and the hockey player is available on almost every format. Not audio yet. I need to make an audiobook of that at some point. But it is available, and it has lots of tactics and tips and a good story, I think. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But the links are in the show notes for my book, The Teacher, the Chef, and the Hockey Player. I'm actually working on a sequel right now. It's going to be a little bit. It's going to be a longer book, I think. The main book, the first book, is about 120, 130 pages and pretty easy read. So I'm working on the second book. It'll be coming to you soon. And thank you for those of you who have purchased it already. I do appreciate that. And yeah, I'll be looking for that next one out probably next year sometime. So it's going to be a little bit. But getting back to the main thing today, my favorite things, I will make this a boomer of five things, and I make them as in different categories as diverse as I can, just to give you some, hopefully, the best benefits I can. So without further ado, here's number one. All right, I'm going to go with my favorite book in the past month. It is called The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. And I actually want to give Ben Landers a big shout out for that, the PE specialist, because he recommended that book on a webinar I listened to recently, or I watched and listened to recently. And so I reached out to him. He's a great guy. If you haven't already connected with him, again, the PE specialist, I know most of you know who that is. And it is a great book about being present in the moment, about making moments fun and exciting and memorable for your students and for yourself. I was looking at it through a PE lens. And, you know, again, I try to make my lessons memorable. Now, there's no way every single lesson is going to be memorable for the rest of my students' lives. But I try to make some really cool things available to them. And I'm going to give you a few examples, actually, of that. So the first thing is, now some of this isn't available anymore. I tried, but we used to have a bike trailer in my former school, and it would go around the district. I did have to take a course. It was real simple, a bike safety kind of course. And it would go around the district. We'd have it for 2 weeks. It had scooters in it and a lot of bikes. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool that the students got to ride bikes at PE class. We had a big track, so we'd, you know, ride around it. We'd take turns. There'd be stations. And some students actually got to learn how to ride a bike at PE. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. That's a cool experience. And that reminded me of this book, The Power of Moments. We've also had martial arts come in and teach a certain grade level for about 8 or 9 weeks and do ceremonies. They get a white belt. So things like that definitely are experiences that I hope will never forget. You know, I talk about my chukball tournament a lot, probably too much. That's something that I still have. I do that with fifth grade. I still have students in, I've been doing it forever, but I have students in high school, even like right now, I've talked to say, oh yeah, I remember that. That was awesome. I was the announcer, or I was a DJ, or my team won, or they came in second or third or whatever. So to me, those are moments. And the book just talks about more than that, but that reminded me of these kind of things for my students. I want to create as many, you know, great moments for them. And so I think that is a fantastic, I actually listened to the book. I didn't read it. I listened to it, and it was just as good, if not, I'm sure, as reading it. So again, it's The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath, and it's definitely one to check out. Number two is The Bear. It is on Hulu. It is a fantastic show. It's 2 seasons long so far, unfortunately, with the writer's strike and actor's strike. They haven't done another season yet. 2 seasons so far, and I was hooked. I got my wife hooked on it. There is a lot of bad language, like a ton of bad language, so don't watch around your children. But it is about I'm not going to give away spoilers, but pretty much a world-class chef that comes home to take care of his brother actually killed himself. He left him a restaurant, like kind of a rundown restaurant, in his will. And so he comes back home to Chicago and runs the business, but has a lot of pushback from his cousin and other people that have been there for 10, 20 years kind of thing. It is fantastic. I think I love anything about, not anything, but with kitchen or chef kind of shows, because as you can tell, my book has a chef in it. But it also, there's things about it that remind me of PE in a way, or I just love precision. And I'm not saying my classroom is the most precise or anything like that, but there's one episode in season two where he sends his cousin to his former place of work, where, and it's like the most famous, I guess, restaurant in America, maybe the world. It's just very prestigious, and his cousin has to clean forks for like 3 days. That's all he does, clean forks. And he's like, well, can I do something else, like clean dishes? And the guy's like, no, because we have world-class dishwashers. And eventually he does learn other things, but it's amazing, the detail and, like I said, the precision. And to me, I want my classroom or my class to be like that. I want it to be precise. I want it to be, again, memorable. I want it to be world-class. And so that's not what the whole series is about. Trust me, there's a lot of like F-bombs and bad stuff, but it's a great show. I love it. It is called The Bear. It is on Hulu, and you need to check that out. All right, number three is a podcast. Now, this is a little specific, so if you don't like sports or don't like football, I can understand why you're like, why is he, this guy, telling me this stuff? It is called QB Room and is by Jordan Palmer and Kyle Allen. So the reason why I started listening to this is because Jordan Palmer, who is, again, if you don't know football, I'll try to not make it as detailed, but Jordan Palmer is a quarterback's coach. He is the brother of Carson Palmer, who was on the Bengals. So his brother's a little more famous than him. But he is a quarterback's coach. Like in the offseason, again, most of you know I'm a Bills fan. So Josh Allen goes to Jordan Palmer for, you know, to work on his mechanics. It's not really play calling. It's more about mechanics. And he transformed not only Josh Allen, but lots of players into just better athletes, more consistent, more productive athletes. So he is on there with Kyle Allen. Now, Kyle Allen is another quarterback, and it's one of his students, but he's also, now he's on the Buffalo Bills, and him and Josh Allen are really good friends. So the podcast brings quarterbacks on there to talk about just lots of different things. And the main one, of course, I listened to was the Josh Allen one, which is just great. But they also ask him some harder hitting questions or more personal questions, because they know him. These are mostly quarterbacks they know or they met or they work with. And so there's a Jared Goff one, and there's some other ones. Really good podcast. If you want to go more into the not just in-depth things, but also into the background of some of these quarterbacks and how they became, you know, what they have become and where they got, and how they read plays and what they just kind of some of the little details. So it is a great podcast to listen to, and it's called The QB Room, number three. All right. So for number four and five, I'm going to get a little more practical with PE games. And if you've been following me at all, you probably heard these games before, but I think they're great for beginning of the year. And that's what we're just finishing. Actually, today was the last day of these two games, because the heat has been so ridiculous. We've been playing a game. I'm going to say number four is Rollout. So Rollout, and I just posted a very short clip of this on, and I think I have another one I just recorded yesterday, but I got to put it out. The other day I put it on Twitter and Instagram, a real short video of it. It is a it's just great for a hot day. In this case, well, like you can do one or two classes. It depends on the size of your pavilion or whatever you got, your size of your gym. It doesn't have to be a hot day game, but it's a pretty simple game. And it kind of reminds me of Gaga Ball without the walls. So in this game, one class makes a big circle and they try not to have any gaps. So we have some actual, it's like kind of like a basketball, kind of like the circle where the free throw line is. But that's kind of what it looks like, a circle like that. So the students will sit all around it, like crisscross applesauce. They're going to sit around it, even fifth grade. Like they know they have to sit because if they start standing or kneeling, things can get out of control. So we have them sit. We have about two people in the middle usually, and we give them 2 to 3 gator skin balls, dodgeballs, whatever you want to call them. And they have to roll them at their feet. And they're going back and forth all over the place. You know, the students that are sitting, they have to roll them. They can't throw them or it doesn't count. They just roll and if it hits their feet. They switch places with the person that got them and the kids love it. So again, that's a game that we play when it's a super hot out. We've had 2 classes just kind of go and chill out, sit under there and the kids love it. Or if the court's too wet, I might take 2 classes in the media center while the other coach has 2 classes. And we have another para, but, they could be out, you know, on the pavilion, as long as no lightning, just kind of wet out, playing a nice game of rollout. Again, the kids love it. Even kindergarten has learned how to play it, very basic part of it. But it's just all about, it's about playing fair. It's about aiming at a target. It's, you know, cooperation. If a ball comes to them, like in between 2 people, and they're grabbing at the ball, they have to rock, paper, scissors to see whose turn it is. So it's a great game. It's a great low-key game that your students will love, and that's called Rollout. It's number 4. All right, number 5 is one of my top 3. That's why I tell everybody. It's the truth. All-time games. It's called Prairie Dog Pickoff, and I learned this game from Joey Fife, the physicaleducator.com. If you go to his website, that's him. At the 2015 PE Institute in North Carolina, in Asheville, North Carolina. It was a fantastic, it was like the who's who of PE gurus there, like people I really look up to. And he's one of them. He's done a great job of just with content, and he's been around a long time with pedagogy and just assessment and all sorts of things, you know, strategies and grade level outcomes. I was going to say standards, not strategies, but both. And so this game, again, is called Prairie Dog Pickoff. And it's a really simple game, I think. There's many levels to it, or he calls them builds or layers. So the way I do it, now it's a little different than he taught us at the PE Institute, because I have had to change it instead of adults for like even lower grades of, maybe not kindergarten, but yeah, you say kindergarten through 5th. Kindergarten is just the very super basic, of course, of anything we play. So the students in Prairie Dog Pickoff, they spread out with hula hoops and a pin. And their pin is their prairie dog. And I always have them name the prairie dog. Mine's always named Bob and Fred. I have 2 prairie dogs when I teach the game. So the object is to find open space. So we talk about that. We can't be right next to our neighbors. I let them pair up or make even groups of 3. It just depends how much space we have and how far I want to go. So a lot of times I'll do groups of, well, I was doing groups of 2 and then maybe one or 2 groups of 3. But the last couple of days I've been doing groups of 3 if they want. So they get a pin, a hoop, and I let them each start with 1 ball, each group. Now you could do that however you want. Sometimes I just put out 1 or 2. I'm going to call them dodgeballs, whatever. So gator skin balls, dodgeballs, whatever you want to call them. 1 or 2 of them. And then I just start throwing a bunch out, or I give them each 1 to start with. Either way, they have to stand by their prairie dog hole and bowl. Round 1 is they're bowling at their opponent's pins. If a pin gets knocked down by a ball, their opponents have to, or whoever gets it knocked down has to, I just tell them they have to jump 5 times or do 5 jump jacks or 5 something where they're jumping, not push-ups, not sit-ups, because we're on cement. So I tell them, there's always somebody's like, can we do burpees? No, you're just doing jumping jacks, or you just have to jump 5 times to revive your prairie dog. And that's really round 1. They just are bowling everywhere. They're getting a lot of experience, a lot of chances to bowl. And the students that are blocking and defending can defend outside the hole. They can't be like have their feet around the pin. So they have to be, I tell them they'd fall down the hole. It's a prairie dog hole. They'd fall down the hole. They can't be in there. But they do have to bowl from the hoop. They have to bowl from that prairie dog hole, because if not, you're going to have kids everywhere. But there are, I call them acorns. It doesn't make any sense, but I call them acorns instead of gator skin balls or dodgeballs. I'm sure prairie dogs don't eat acorns, but the acorns are going to be everywhere. And I tell them one student can move and gather up the acorns. while the other student stays and defends. But those are kind of things we talk about, like strategies of where is the best way or where's the best place to put your hula hoop to for defense. And most of them say like in the corners or against, we don't have walls, but like near the back, like the back lines. But where are you going to get the most action? Well, that's in the middle. You're going to get, you know, lots of crossfire. So that's round one. Round two, I let them throw overhand if they can show control. And I always tell them they have to aim at pins, not people. That's just how we play this game. We could have a dodgeball debate another time, but they have to aim at the pins, not people. If the pins get knocked over, same thing. Now, you could change it. And I know Joey Fife did this when we played at the PE Institute. You can make it so that if they get the pin knocked down this time, they go do something. Like one time I had them go to the side and they had to do a six stack, like cup stack. They had a, you know, build and down stack, and then they go back and play. Or you could have them do a lap around the playing area and find a different spot or the same spot. So things like that, you can vary it up. Round three is the best round. They love it. And there are actually more rounds, but I only go to round three, which is they team up and the kids love it. So in this time, there's no more jumping jacks. There's no more, you know, whatever laps around the thing. There's no more building with cup stacks. They get the pin knocked down. They join their team that got them. And they have the team that got them kind of like with their hands, like motion that, okay, they come over, join us. So they put their hoops next to each other, like touching with their pins up. And they're now a team. And so what they try to do is they're trying to build like a huge army or like some kind of like, you know, galactic empire. I don't know. A big team basically in a corner or somewhere in the middle somewhere. And while they're going after the little ones, and if you're a little one, and what I mean by that is one hoop and you're by yourself with or with a partner, you're trying to defend, you're trying to be the last one standing. So it's a lot of touches on the ball. It's a lot of throwing. It's a lot of bowling. It's defending. It's finding open space. It's talking about tactics, strategy. It's all sorts of things and all sorts of fun. Again, it's one of my top three. I would say Chook Ball and Capture the Flag are my top three of all time games. It is Prairie Dog Pickoff and it is awesome. All right, everyone. No cowbell today. I think just check those games out. Check those things out if you get a chance. And as always, take care. Have a great day, weekend. Whenever you listen to this, you guys and girls are awesome at PE Nation. Take care and let's keep pushing our profession forward.